meeting of the Lincoln County Planning Commission is in order. Please call the roll.
Audra Bobbitt?
Here.
Terry Bogenhagen?
Here.
Dick Johnson?
Here.
Judy Pelletier?
Here.
Phil Spolnick?
Here.
Dick Cutler?
Here.
Bob Porch?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, the first item on the agenda is approval of the August 13th meeting minutes. Any comment on these?
Second.
So moved and seconded.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve these minutes. Are there any comments on the motion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, raise their hand. Okay, the next item, are there any items from the audience that are not?
Mr. Chair, recognize Ms. Bobbitt, she abstained.
Oh, I'm sorry, I went too fast.
And Mr. Chair, I want to make sure, Josh, you got what you got? All right, okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed that on the minutes themselves. Are there any items from the audience that are not on the agenda tonight? Is there any past action reviews for the Planning Commission or unfinished business? So we'll move on to the first item, which is adoption of the findings, conclusions, and final order of case file 03TA18.
Chair Johnson?
Yes.
I just want to point out that I handed out an amended copy of the findings, orders, and conclusion where the word substantial has been replaced with sufficient 3 times.
The only comment I had on this was that the findings do not include a summary of what the real findings are. It says, which maybe is okay, but it just said, hey, there's numbers and words and all that, but the findings, it could be that you want to summarize the findings on the separations that were in the actual thing that we approved, but that may not be necessary.
Yeah, for the record, this is Assistant Counsel Herbeach.
Say again?
For the record, Assistant Counsel Herbeach speaking, and I think that what the staff did with respect to the conclusions is they looked at the criteria in the code. And the criteria that they're going to look at for something legislative as opposed to quasi-judicial are the 1 through 3. And I think staff suggested findings which need to be considered by the Planning Commission that those 3 criteria from the code were met with sufficient evidence instead of substantial evidence, which is the standard for quasi-judicial. So I think that's why it's there in that form.
So this is not summarizing what the findings really were.
It's legally sufficient.
Comments
on approving the findings?
I move we accept.
Okay, it's been moved.
Staff report.
And it's been moved, seconded by Mr. Cutler. Any comments on the motion? All those in favor, raise their hand. The next item on the agenda.
One abstention.
Oh, okay, you weren't involved in the discussion. Okay. Pardon me. Okay, the next item is to review the recommendations that were put together based on our discussion of based on the request of Oregon State Parks for us to make recommendations on their plan for Brian Muth State Park. And we had a long discussion on this. There were certain items that we went through, and I reviewed what's in this here does pick up the items that we reviewed in the meeting and with maybe a little bit of emphasis on the travel plan that we talked about and so forth. So what we have in front of us is the recommendations, 10 of them, that we would make to state parks on the Brian Booth plan that they have drafted. Any comments on it?
I have a question. On the part about the traffic plan, it just says they have to make a plan. Who's going to look at the plan and say that it's really safe? I mean, I'm worried that state parks is going to say, "Well, oh, this is great. You know, we're fine." I mean, is it ODOT? Is it the county commissioners? Who's going to look at the traffic plan and actually say that things are safe down there? And who's, I mean, seriously, I've been driving it all summer. Are you out of your mind?
So you would recommend adding a sentence or so to recommendation number 7?
I want a recommendation of who would be the appropriate person to approve such a safety plan. It's one thing to make one, to make a plan, but who's going to say that it's really safe? ODOT?
I want this to go back.
County commissioners?
Could we just, whoever draws up the plan, we ask to approve it as a commission?
Could we do that?
I don't know. I don't see why not.
Well, we're supposed to review how the whole thing's going.
It's going to continue. Yeah, it's a reactive process.
Mr. Chairman, may I try to... So let's recall the once you the under the administrative rules for both state parks and for DLCD, the county issues a recommendation. Our county commissioners have asked you guys to provide the first cut at a recommendation. So once we get this I'm just going through the overall process first, and then we can sort of backtrack about how we feel comfortable. Tonight, hopefully, after what has been a painfully long process, my good thoughts and respect to our friends at State Parks, you issue this recommendation. It's going to go to State Parks. They're going to provide a written response. As I understand it, conferring with County Council, at that point, what will happen once Parks responds to your written recommendation, they are going to provide a written recommendation back to the county. At that point, it is my understanding that the commissioners working with staff will look at, so they're sort of a tennis match, you know, the ball's in our court. Hopefully tonight you're gonna kick it over into their court. Parks is gonna be responding in writing. Then it'll come back to what will be an important real second cut at all this, which will be, we'll see where State Parks is at vis-a-vis what you've suggested. And then there are going to have to be some important decisions made at that point about whether there's a meeting of the minds between State Parks and Lincoln County, or whether one or any of these elements could go into a dispute resolution format with the state. So there's one part of me that would suggest, if we adopt the findings the way they are tonight, or maybe make some subtle changes, we could literally, Jerry's got it on a Word document back there in the office, we could craft it and make a change or two or three. I tried really hard to capture the essence of what, of course, all of you were trying to say. But if we have some residual, I mean, one path that I think makes me feel comfortable, knowing this is not the last night that these issues are gonna be discussed, there are gonna be some important, very important meetings ahead, is that we could flag that issue as something that we would want the commissioners to make sure they addressed in the future discussions. You could insert something right now about that into the recommendation. I mean, those are two different ways to do it. Either just we can communicate these concerns to the commissioners as we go forward, that was something that you guys raised.
Andrew's suggestion kind of was that you would not have state parks get agreement on their circulation plan from ODOT and this and that before it comes back to us, or we could say,
well, it's going to come back.
It's going to come back to the county anyway.
It's coming back to the county.
is that in the form of revision to the master plan? Or how does it come back?
You mean to the, because as of tonight, I think your role in the, your very important, critical, foundational role in this process sort of, is, if I'm understanding it correctly, is sort of, you're done tonight.
Yep.
Okay, and then it's, then it will move to, then it'll move to Parks, but then right back to the commissioners for a very important, probably negotiation type thing with State Parks to iron out last details.
Ask them to get approval of these other agencies before it comes back to us.
Well,
but it doesn't come back to us.
It doesn't come back to us. And so I guess I'm asking that if that language and that piece needs to be stronger, I want the county commissioners to understand this thoroughly. That I still, this does not reflect a lot of our testimony about that feeling it was too many campsites, too much traffic, too many problems with safety. And I want to make sure that that's evaluated, because I know this is it for us.
Yeah, there's just been a ton of accidents between Newport and Walport this year. And it's not going to get any better with the amount of traffic. And especially on that curve. I mean, right, that is so scary.
You've got Huckleberry Hill traffic, you've got the Beaver Creek and all the kayak traffic now, yeah. And it's just a mess.
Yeah.
And there's no passing lanes, and it's just not safe. I mean, I think it's crazy. I mean, I don't see where they could put another entrance to this park, because it's still the same stretch of road. You know, you can't, even if you built a bridge over Beaver Creek to put it onto Beaver Creek Road, you're still using that horrible intersection. All those people getting in and out of that park for weddings and the kayaks, and I just don't feel this is strong enough. But that's my opinion.
And what you're talking about is one part of this recommendation, because part of the circulation has to do with the plan within the park and getting the snaggy point and so forth.
So
part of it has to do with the Ona Beach curves and
different jurisdictions.
Yeah. So is there a specific recommendation you would add to that recommendation?
Mr. Chair, Andrew a few minutes ago said she was thought, because I think item 7 here, and it was a core part of the discussion, clearly. So the one suggestion, Andrew, you said that you would feel more comfortable if who would approve this plan might be identified. I mean, again, and making somehow an amendment to that, to specify that, could be one way. Or what we could do is you could entrust us as staff to make sure as we go forward, because we're going to continue to stay involved, that issue is flagged as a core overriding factor from the Planning Commission about these recommendations. Because I don't think that this issue, as important as it ended up being, and sort of touched upon virtually every concern that was here, most of it, except for scale, perhaps, can be, and scale is involved with this.
It is involved, and it's separately mentioned,
right,
that there was a recommendation of no more than 250. I'm sure you're going to hear that from that, because I'm not saying that your recommendation was good, bad, or indifferent, but let's go over the process. This is Assistant Counsel Herbage for the record. But what we need to do is get this done. We need to get a written recommendation to OPRD on the draft master plan. That's what this proposes to do. OPRD then provides a written response back to us addressing each recommendation. Then under...
to us or to the county commissioners?
To the commissioners.
Well, you say that, but I think it just talks about the county and stuff. And I'm thinking that under this process, it would probably come back to the Planning Commission, ideally, because you are the ones who are giving the recommendations in the first place. At least that round, I think that it makes sense that the Planning Commission would respond. We can have a discussion about that. But these are the Planning Commission's recommendations. Remember, our code was a little silent on this whole thing. But anyway, to get to the point, within 60 days of receiving written recommendation from a local government, OPRD is to provide a written response to the local government addressing each recommendation. Response shall describe any changes to the draft park master plan that OPRD would propose in response to the local recommendations. OPRD's response shall also provide a second comment period, not less than 30 days, during which the local government may and then review any changes to the park master plan proposed by OPRD and so on, either concur or object to OPRD's pending adoption of the proposed master plan. And it has dispute resolution provisions and so on after that. The points I would make would be that this is all part of a process, and I think that the issue really is whether these proposed recommendations adequately address what you came up with the last time you met. And in that regard, you know, that is your judgment call. But I do believe that if we look at 7, which we're talking about now, it puts OPRD on notice that you have a problem and concerns about safety. And it doesn't just say prepare a draft or a traffic circulation plan. It says prepare a traffic circulation plan to identify safe and efficient ways for park visitors to gain access to all parts of the park. And then it gives some examples of what the concerns are. I think this is an invitation to parks to come back to address your concerns as part of the back and forth process, which is very unusual in land use, but it's part of the step of this OAR process. And so, you know, that's your judgment call about whether that captures what you said, what you asked for. But I think that we will have some subsequent discussions. I'll have some subsequent discussions with Anu on this. But it seems to me that if you made the initial recommendations, which is what you're doing, that those response to recommendations would come back to the same body. Otherwise, I think that it will bog everything down because you're the ones who have made these initial recommendations.
I understand what you're saying, and I've got
a comment. At one of the previous meetings, the parks people sat here and they told us that ODOT had approved their access for the 400 unit park. They sat there and told us that. So they're going to come back and say, "Well, ODOT said it was fine. That's good." And it isn't good because I mean, it's going to be a nightmare. I really think, and unless somebody does something, I mean, the state, you know, they're like this, and they can approve anything they want, and then the first couple of accidents that are going to be in there, if I'm still around, I'm going to be taking them all this material to whoever was in the accident and said, "We told them not to do this." And that's how I feel about this. I mean, I feel just like Andrea does. We drive this thing every single day, and you just see the congestion that's there. And at the last meeting when we had this discussion, I mean, I left there mentally drained because I didn't think we properly address everything, you know. Well, so that's just my comment.
Now let me clarify one more time. This recommendation number 7 is for a park circulation plan, which includes coming off
exactly
101.
Yeah. But
there's a lot of stuff in here that has nothing to do with the Odom Beach curves.
No, but access into the park is what really bothers me.
Yeah.
And the Odom Beach curves is part of that. If you drive that every day, you understand.
I agree that, but there was also the, there's A through something.
Well, maybe seven needs to be divided into traffic within the park.
I think this is
Access.
Pretty much.
Pretty conclusive of what we talked about at our last meeting, where we talked about utilization or circulation plan. We talked about it for probably half an hour.
Yeah, and the purpose as the drafter of seven was, I mean, it was such a manifold set of issues that ultimately, as the person trying to make sense out of all of the stuff that you were talking about, it seemed like this was really the way to knit them together into a coherent thing. Now, and Andrew, I think, or Commissioner Bobbitt, you've made a very good point about at what point in this analysis is it deemed acceptable? And I'll get that to it in a minute, but Commissioner Spolnick, I would not necessarily agree with you, because I've on at least the relationship between state parks and ODOT. When it comes to ODOT dealing with their system, I don't think they got any sweetheart deals with anybody. There's these traffic management things are, you know, compared to most other parts of planning, are you know, they're traffic engineers and they do the modeling and the such and such. So I anytime you create any turnoffs on a highway, that's why ODOT doesn't like to have a whole bunch of new entrances on highways. They jealously guard the capacity of their system, and so you got to really jump through a bunch of hoops to get there. But just like I would remind you, when we earlier approved that RV park at the old nursery site, we more or less banked on ODOT to provide the kind of a work scope that would do the review of that intersection. And there's a point where, you know, we do have to trust a state agency that's responsible for that highway to make some of those calls. But, you know, I think you've all done a very outstanding job of pointing to parts of this overall plan that need additional work. And I'm confident the additional work is going to be done. I think there's an interesting question of down the road that maybe we don't even need to solve tonight, but needs to be a terribly core consideration as we go forward. Because there's going to be this little back and forth.
The issue on the table right now is this is the recommendation to put together a traffic circulation plan that includes several things, including the Ona Beach curves. Yeah. The question is that recommendation adequate as a recommendation, or do we have to put in, hey, where ODOT is required, we would want them to be agree with your circulation plan?
See, we're not going to see this. We're not going to see this plan.
We're going to take a time out just real quick on this. The way I look at it is, it's not so much for this planning commission to consider what responses directly the state may make. That is round two. We need to concentrate on this round, and this is a round of communication. You have a proposed master plan. You have reviewed that plan. This process allows for the county, and it's the Planning Commission in this instance, to tell the state parks what we're concerned about as it relates to the criteria. And so based on your comments, there are the 10 recommendations made here. This is not the end of the process. It's fairly close to the beginning of the process. And so you're here to communicate to the state. The state will get back to you. You have addressed safety concerns, traffic circulation, and so on. If you need some small changes or some changes, we can do that. If I had a recommendation, it would be that if you have any changes, we get that straightened out tonight, because we really need to move forward with the process. But it's just round two. That's all. It's going to come back to
the part of the discussion tonight is that this making a recommendation doesn't mean it's something we approve what they come back with, so.
Yeah, that's right.
So the question among us is, are these recommendations adequate as a recommendation that they put together a traffic circulation plan that covers all these things? Or do we have to be talking about the, in the future, getting ODOT and others to approve it? Or can we live with what we have here?
Well, since State Parks is here and listening, I'm sure that they'll take this back to them, because ultimately, they still have to come here for a zone change, and I'm not going to do anything with a zone change until I'm satisfied that our concerns are addressed. I forget now what, without the zone change, I thought it was only 80 sites in there, which, I mean, I don't know if that's safe, but it's way less than what they thought and whatnot. But, you know, until it's all ironed out, there, I don't want to see a packet on a zone change.
Okay,
I'd like to ask, would it be inappropriate for the commission to simply tack on at the end of that first sentence, ending in to gain access to all parts of the park, and submit this completed plan to the commission for its comments and consideration?
But they have to do that anyway. So, you know, it's up to the planning commission what you want to put in there, but I don't think that adds additionally to what Parks has to do by law.
Okay. And I'm okay with this wording, but but just with our discussion here, you know which way we're going. As far as, we don't want a Mickey Mouse traffic plan, because if we have 250 campsites in there, and everybody that's going to be there wants to go to the beach, okay? And then everybody that's there, they want to go up, look at the wetlands and the other thing. That's in and out, in and out, in and out, all day long. So they, you guys better really, really, really study this hard. Because we're talking about not just a left turn lane, but we're talking about a major, major, major intersection. I'm not an engineer, but I'm okay with recommending this myself.
But boy,
I'm going to really be looking at this with a fine-tooth comb when it comes back, and I just want them to be aware of that, and you guys to be aware of that.
I think there are going to be ample opportunities to as we go forward, to address these matters even more, because there is always an important point on something like this of like, well, all right, when are we sort of done? You know, for instance, like even on the, this is not unlike the dialogue about the drainage practices, more or less there's a commitment to have a dialogue with the community and share again what they've already done and what the community thinks about that. And what was hard to sort of say is, all right, well, when are we really done with that? We wanted to build, you know, bake that into the cake, but it sort of begs the question of, you know, when will we all agree, you know, we're sort of done with that. I think we also have to remember that the county commission over time is not going to be without their own ability to influence these matters. You know, we will have access to the Parks Commission. The legislature has access. I mean, it's not like they get in a spaceship and go away and we never see them again, or we don't have some other. Now, at the same time, having said that, I think you've done more than a thorough job of really shining a light on some things that needed additional work. And So it's very clear. Commissioner Spolnick, yes. We will make sure the staff continues to make sure that this, and I think they want to have a professional, I think this is a good piece of work for state parks to do in terms of understanding how the circulation at park works.
Are we generally in agreement with the wording of our recommendations?
I am, but I'm still not really clear on the process. Because in the agenda, you speak of the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department is requesting that Lincoln County issue a recommendation to Oregon State Parks and Recreation regarding the draft 214 comprehensive plan. We're doing that, but are we the county or is the commission? County commissioners, the county.
You're acting for the county at this point.
We are.
You are. And I'm going to recommend that whatever they come back to you, OPRD does, had it come back to the planning commission.
Okay, if that is a part of the plan, then that should be included in the transmission of this plan, our recommendation, excuse me, to OPRD.
Well, there, if one way or another, you said we get closure tonight, it goes to them. They're going to be responding to the county with a written set of remarks that we'll all be able to see. What I was, in my conversations with our county council, it was my understanding that ultimately the dialogue at this point, in terms of deciding the final version, could be with the county commissioners. But the administrative rules specifies the county, whether it's the commission, well, the commissioners or this commission.
For clarity on.
Well, it's ambiguous.
I don't see anything for the county.
It's ambiguous.
I think it gives the county the ability.
Should come back to the planning commission because it makes no sense that if you're the body looking at it and you're making these recommended changes, they go to another body who may have different ideas about what those changes are. And I think the process becomes...
With a change of membership coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes very convoluted, non-productive, counterproductive. So that's my...
Let me ask again, are we...
I'm okay with what's here. I'm just trying to get...
As long as it comes back to us.
Okay.
I hope we accept.
Well, there's one other thing. I want to correct something Phil said, where he mentioned 250 campsites. The recommendation we're making, and I was going to question whether it ought to be number of campsites rather than number of individuals. But the wording here is pretty good. Our recommendation is that the campgrounds be limited to scale to accommodate 250 individuals.
Yeah. If I could comment, I think that came from the minutes. We look at the minutes.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it wasn't a matter of whether staff thought that was good, bad, or indifferent.
Whether we should have words about the number of campsites, but we don't need the number of campsites. We need to tell them that their campground planning should accommodate only 250 individuals per evening. So I think the wording in here is okay. Now you can do what you were starting to do.
And it's your wording.
Yes.
We took it from that.
Commission, I move we accept and approve the recommendations as presented to us tonight to go to the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to convey these recommendations to state parks as in these papers. Any discussion of that? All in favor, raise your hand. I don't have to ask for abstention. Okay, I thought we were going to get through that.
Josh, you got unanimous, right? Okay.
The next item now is the application for case file 01ZC PC18. The applicant is Dan James of Northwest Homes. The applicant is requesting to revert back to the original C C1 zone from the approved change of C2 zone under case file through resolution of intent to rezone. The applicant's manufactured home sale business is proven to be unsuccessful at the subject property and is no longer used. Since the approved resolution of intent strictly limited the C2 zone there to the use of manufactured home sales business, if they want to go back to what other things you could do there, the applicant must apply for a zone change to revert back to the original C1 zone in order to establish any other use. The property is located in the Lincoln Beach area, north of 3855 North Highway 101, on the west side of the highway and south of Willow Street. It's identified on the Lincoln County Assessor's map. Applicable criteria involve quasi-judicial amendments, intent to rezone, purpose and procedure, plan designations for rural community centers, and retail commercial zone C1. Those are the sections of the code that apply. Testimony tonight should be directed to those criteria or other standards in the Lincoln County Code, state statute, or administrative rule that a party believes applies to the request. Failure to raise an issue in this hearing accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the commission an opportunity to respond precludes appeal to the DeLuba on that issue. Application materials and other evidence relied upon by the applicant have been provided to the planning department and made available to the public. We will go through, are there any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest? The order of presentation will be there'll be a staff report, and the applicant will give his testimony, and followed by testimony in support of the application. Then there can be opposition testimony, followed by the applicant rebutting that testimony. Any requests for the record to remain open, a schedule or waiver of the applicant's final written arguments, close the hearing, we'll deliberate. So we'll start out with the staff report.
Good evening, Chair Johnson, Planning Commissioners. Hoy Rodomsky, Senior Planner with the Planning Department. So before you is case file 01ZCPC18, and the applicant is Dan James, and he would like to revert back to retail commercial zone C1 from general commercial zone C2, which the subject properties have been changed or approved to change into C2 in 1996. I just want to show you real quick locations depicted by these exhibits. So just go here. This is the Turfway in Lincoln Beach, and these three lots in red are Mr. James's properties. And you can see that these are residential homes right behind them. And then there's a few commercial along the east side of the highway. And this is the zoning map for the same area. The purple is C1, retail commercial, and the orange is C2, general commercial. And I'll point out that both Mr. James's properties here, 123, and this one here, they were all intended to rezone going from C1 to C2. So originally, this area was all C1, but then the property owners have petitioned.
The orange across the highway is C2.
This one's C2 as well. That one, I'm not so sure. I haven't checked into that one. But I know that Mr. James has another manufactured home sales lot that's east side of the highway, I think further down here.
Yeah.
So off the map, that actually was from C1 to C2 as well. So this is location of where the subject properties are. Just to show you how restrictive this intended rezone language or code criteria is, which is section, Lincoln County Code section 1.1245, is in 1996, the previous owner had requested to change from C1 to C2 for the purpose of a manufactured home sales lot. But then when Mr. James acquired it, he would like to have a different site plan for the business. Not changing the use, just the site plan. But because in 1996, not just the use, but also the site plan was locked into that same approval, Mr. James had to come back in 2001 to change his site plan from the plan commission. So because this type of rezone is so restrictive that for anybody to want to sort of be released from the rezone, they will have to come back to the planning commission and request for the subject property to be reverted back to its original zones in order to establish any use that's permitted under the original zone. So the reason that Mr. James would like to change the zone tonight is because the manufactured home sales business at this location has not proven to be successful, so he hasn't used it for a number of years. I'm not sure how many years, but he'll probably tell you that. But bottom line is, how it's zoned now, he's not using it for that purpose, and he would like to just be released from that approval so that he can establish uses that's allowed under the C1 zone. And in the staff report, there's a list. I have included the section of the C1 zone, which is on page 4, so you can take a look at that list and see what he will be able to do, you know, if you were to approve him reverting back to the original zone of C1.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, please.
As I understand it, the C2 zone includes all the uses that can take place in C1 and additional uses as well. Is it the site plan that causes him to have to take this step?
It's because the way it was rezoned, it wasn't an open rezone. So for example, the two other rezones you heard this year was from either AC to TC or TC to AC, timber conservation to agriculture conservation, or the other way around. And in those types of rezone, is a complete rezone, so to speak, where once you change from TC to AC, you can do everything that AC says you are able to do, and vice versa. If you go from AC to TC, you can do everything that TC can do, but you can't do anything that's what used to be AC. So the difference here is that the intended rezone locks you into one use only. So which means even though he's zone C2 now, he can't do anything that the whole list of C2 that allows him to do, because the rezone is so restrictive that he can only use the one use that he was approved for in 1996.
Backing up what Dick is saying, the note I made, it was kind of interesting that it was rezoned, but only one thing could be done.
Yes.
Now, it could be that we said, okay, we'll leave it C2 zone, but take away that one restriction. I'm not recommending we do it that way. But
I don't think we have a process to do that.
Then what?
I don't think we can do that legally.
You're saying we need to revert to the original zone.
Right. I don't think you can take away, and that's not a proposal here anyway.
Okay.
It's to revert the original zone.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with you.
You know, wouldn't it be a good idea when we do this, and we haven't done any resolutions
intent
which is for a specific use, but wouldn't it be a good idea to say if that use is discontinued, it automatically reverts back to the original zone?
We don't have that in our code, so they have to come back.
It'd save the guy a lot of money.
It would.
$2,400.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Well, usually when these things happen, there's a great eagerness to make the intent to rezone happen, right? And of course, everybody thinks, well, that's what I really need. And then when it doesn't quite pan out, yes, of course, they're going to want to put it in reverse and come back and have the full suite of options.
Well, it's something.
It's not a bad idea.
You have the slack time.
With all the time.
Yeah. You have the slack time to drop your little ordinance.
So So what we're, what the item is tonight is to rezone, go back to C1, and simply eliminate this funny case where you have C2, but you can only do one thing in it. So we're just going back to C1, and fits into that part of the, that area along the highway anyway.
Similar to what the other properties are here.
So do you have anything more?
That's pretty much it.
Any questions of Bert? Okay.
Thank you.
The next thing is for the applicant to testify. And I think you need to write your name and address down there.
Is this part of the approval process, if I get this right?
If we need to get bribes from somebody, we would want to know how to get it done.
Like a special use permit.
Well,
Dan James, Northwest Homes. I don't know, really know what to add to that, but it's just like we were talking about. It's, we just want to revert right back to where it was designated on the C1 zoning, because it is just, you have no other uses besides what we zoned the change back to manufactured home sales. It fits in with everything else there. It was a designated zoning originally. I don't know if you got any questions, but...
Well, I think, Dan, because the commissioners, you know, when we change zoning, it's got to be based on either was done an error or was a change of circumstances. And I think in this case, we're leveraging staff agrees with these changes of circumstance would be the primary finding that you would make. The change of circumstance, it didn't work.
Yeah.
And now we need to, now he wants to revert back to the original.
Are there any questions for him?
Probably not germane to the discussion. Do you have another use that you have?
To intended? Potentially doing some rentals, rental housing on there, which is obviously a great need in the county also. But it, obviously it opens up what I can do.
I understand that. Yeah. Reasonably so. Yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think you've given your testimony.
Yeah.
Is there any testimony from the audience in favor of this application? Is there any opposition to this? No. You don't need to rebut the...
I can't.
Is there any request for the... to leave it open after tonight?
For me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, we close the hearing, and we deliberate. Is there any...
I just have a question.
Hey, Dick, go ahead.
You had mentioned that the code provides that this is okay, provided it's in accord with the comprehensive plan goals and the statewide planning goals. And I assume that it is, or is it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, remember the zoning was that originally, which was approved by the state, and even the intent to rezone had to be analyzed by the state. So in either case, this would be, and when we draft the findings, we'll of course make a, we'll do that, the legal sufficiency of referencing that indeed it's still, that that'll be one of the checkpoints on, but it certainly is in conformance with it.
In that case, I would move approval.
And the state did, of course, with any of these, we notify the state about the potential change. We give them that notice, and there was no commentary for that.
Well, there's a motion.
Can I second?
To approve, and it is seconded. Is there any discussion of the motion?
Seems logical.
All those in favor, raise your hand. That sure went a lot faster than the recommendations.
Everything went faster than Brian.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the a file, a case file initiated by the County Board of Commissioners, case file 05TA18. They requested a public hearing to consider amending the Lincoln County Code to permit brew pubs and microbreweries in appropriate commercial buildings. The Lincoln County Board of Commissioners initiated the amendment with resolution 18-18-7A. The commission shall make a recommendation to the board upon completion of the hearing. Findings required to be made by the board and the commission for a legislative amendment are as follows. Establish that the amendment will be consistent with the comprehensive plan goals and policies. Establish that there's a public need for the requested change and that the public need will be met by the change. And establish that the amendment will be consistent with all other provisions of this chapter and in conformance with the statewide planning goals and all other applicable statutes and regulations. They will start out with a staff report, have testimony by any party, close the record, and deliberate. So what we're talking about is being able to establish brew pubs and microbreweries in restaurants and things within the, rather than require that they be out on the wider, I'll quit.
In the current state of affairs right now is that fermentation is only allowed in industrial zones.
It was only allowed where?
In industrial zones. Yeah, that's the status quo that we're changing from.
So my question is, which commissioner wants to open up a microbrew?
You commissioners?
No, county.
Oh, gee. Yeah, I think the I knew that was industrial zone, but I was having a senior moment. I couldn't remember what it was. So the item is, everybody in the audience can be aware, right now you can only brew in
industrial zones.
In an industrial zone, and they'd like to have small brewing or small
microbreweries
in the commercial zone in appropriate places. So, do we have a staff report on this?
Good evening, once again. Okay, so my staff report, Hoy Rodomsky, Senior Planner, Planning Commission, Department. So it's come to our attention that, as we've been discussing, that brewing beverages is only allowed in IP, and it's also explicitly excluded from C2 general commercial zone. So it's the only place that people can actually produce beverages or foods involving fermentation is in IP zone, plant industrial. And so with the trend of brew pubs and microbreweries, we would like to amend our code to permit such activities in the appropriate zones. In the memo that's included in your packet, I had kind of defined what brew pub and a microbrewery is, and these are from online definitions. I just found them. So a brew pub is a bar or restaurant that serves alcoholic beverages brewed on site. And a microbrewery is a brewery that produces less than 15,000 barrels of alcoholic beverages per year, with 70% or 75% or more of its products sold off-site. And I have a footnote here that says a barrel of beer is 31 gallons, but after more research, I think it's actually 50 gallons. That perhaps folks in the audience will help me out later. So if it's 50 gallons, then that means the microbrewery will produce, you know, 15,000 times 50 gallons of beer a year. So the difference between a brew pub and a microbrewery is that the brewing is on-site and primarily served on-site. Did I say that right? brewing on-site and serving primarily on-site. So they're not really into distributing off-site as their primary intent, is to brew on the same location and serve on the same location. And the microbrewery is to, as a definition from the Brewers Association said, is that they want to sell more than 75% of their production off-site per year. So to permit these two uses, I'll just jump to a summary and then go into the details of how we're adding or eliminating languages from our code. So to permit a brew pub, we were proposing to do so in all three commercial zones. That would be CT, tourist commercial, C1, retail commercial, and C2, general commercial. But the difference is that for CT, tourist commercial, we're also adding the additional requirement of the property has to be served by a public sewer system for disposal of the wastewater. And for microbreweries, we are proposing that it occurs only in C2 general commercial and not C1 or C2. So again, a brew pub, which is a bar or restaurant or a bar that serves beer brewed on-site, primarily for consumption on-site, we're proposing to be allowed in all three commercial zones, CT, C1, C2, except in CT, we would like it to also be on the property be served by a public sewer system, and for a microbrewery, only in C2 general commercial. So the languages we would like to add to the code is to change the language in CT zone by adding the phrase. This will be under item 1 on page 2 of the memo. Add the phrase, including on-site accessory, processing, packing, or storage of food or beverage involving distillation or fermentation when served by a public or community sewer system to the outright permitted use of restaurant, bar, or tavern. So what we're hoping to do is that since the use of restaurant, bar, or tavern is already outright permitted in CT, we just want to add a phrase to say that on-site accessory brewing of or fermentation of food or beverage is okay. Just additional information on the current C2 language where it says excluding those products involving distillation, fermentation, that language would also exclude people, say, making cheese or making vegetable pickles in their own restaurant because they couldn't ferment. So that would also let people to pickle things if they want to. So that's for CT. Item 2 is to add...
Wait real quick. As a practical matter for CT,
mm-hmm.
So... that we discovered later in the process that if you see there the map that shows Glenedon Beach zoning, there is a sewer system there. And so it was
could,
good.
If I could, I'm going to refer to those.
All right, I'll say.
Thank you. Okay, so for the second item is to add the same phrase, which is including on-site accessory processing, packing, or storage of food or beverage involving distillation or fermentation to the same outright permitted use of restaurant, bar, or tavern in C1. So these are for brew pubs. The third item, which is to permit microbrewery in C2, is to remove the words distillation, fermentation from the outright permitted use of processing, packing, or storage of food or beverage, excluding those products involving distillation, fermentation, rendering fats or oils, or slaughtering. So if you were to look at the draft code language that's in your packet, you'll see that for CT, I probably should have cross-referenced them while I was going through each of these, but for CT, it's going to be line 22, 23, and 24, where the added phrase is going to be. It's in bold.
The phrase where it does not create a public nuisance, noise, smoke, odor, or dust because it constitutes a fire, explosion, or other physical hazard. does that get him, does that freeze? Where does that freeze end up?
That's in IP language, and that's still in IP language. We're not adding that language to the C zones.
Okay, that language is already in the, in our code.
Right, that's in IP.
Okay.
Yep, so we're just proposing to add to CT, if you look at the draft, I think the word draft is not on my paper, but it should be on yours. For line 22, 23, and 24, the bolded language says, including on-site accessory processing, packing, or storage of food or beverage involving distillation or fermentation when served by public or community sewer system. Does everybody see that? Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And then if you look at the C1 and C2 draft language, the changes to C1, the proposed changes, will be line 24 and 25. And the same thing, except it doesn't say public or community sewer system. And by adding that language to C1, C2, it will also apply to C2 because our zones kind of adopt each other, so to speak. So for C2 then, on line 19, we crossed out distillation and fermentation from the outright permitted use of processing, packing, or storage food or beverage. Item N. So now I'll show you where these zones are located. And I have also handed out a small version of each of these exhibits at the start of our meeting. So if you go to tourist commercial zone, which is this one here, most of them is actually in Seal Rock, which doesn't have a sewer system. And then you've got a number of these in the Bayshore area, which also doesn't have a sewer system. And then you've got these ones, this cluster in the Lincoln Beach area, which is served by a sanitary district. So the thinking was that because these are not served by the sewer system, and as you can see, except for these big lots down here, and these are all really small lots, so without having a sewer system, they really wouldn't be able to eliminate or get rid of their wastewater. They would need maybe like a massive septic system. So we figured that we would let them do a CT, but only if it's served by a public sewer, which will be basically the Lincoln Beach area.
Specifically,
yeah.
So I don't know anything about fermentation, but so it does involve a lot of wastewater.
That's what I understand. And I also understand from our sanitarian that sometimes some brewers out there can apply for these ag permits where they actually get rid of the byproduct water, which I guess is not hazardous, but just spread it through like a field. And you know, for hay or something, so they can get rid of their water that way. So there's
because it's mainly yeast.
I'm assuming
So the mainly excluding the CT zone, was that because of the sewer system, or was that the commissioners didn't want it in CT?
Was because sewer. So we were thinking that. Because we're thinking mostly Seal Rock, and there's just about all the Seal Rock commercial zones are tourist commercial, and we didn't really, you know, had in mind a cluster of CT zones that was, you know, that like Seal Rock. So then once we did this analysis, we found out that, okay, there's quite a bit actually in Lincoln Beach. So if they want to do that, they should be able to as well, because that was our intent originally, was to let people who are on sewer, public sewer systems, be able to have a brew pub or micro brew just because of the turnover in water usage. So
part of the thinking there was that if you had opened it up for all CT, then people might have been misled into thinking they can go into these places that they really didn't have the disposal, at least for the time being. That's why CT, we took it off the table at first, but then we noticed, wait a minute, we actually have some CT up there in Glen Eden Beach that's served by a sewer. So it's sort of, in our staff process, late in the process, we added CT with the disclaimer but where you have, to be able to not prejudice those CT zone properties that do have access to sewer in Glen Eden Beach.
Is that Salishan as well?
No. That's not the CT zone.
The marketplace?
Right, but this really wasn't part of the staff presentation, but by opening up these zones, we in effect have, this also opens the door to be able to do it in Salishan. We'd be happy to walk you through a rather torturous set of different steps, but in effect it does that. Because it, yes, but in an indirect way, that is very, it's a labyrinth of code interpretation. Be happy to walk you through it, but Quay became expert in that as we...
I'll do it in 5 minutes.
She's very good at that.
That's okay.
They have a limited appetite for
that.
I just
wanted to know.
But that's the genesis of it.
Any questions for her?
Well, I was going to go through the other exhibits.
Keep going.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so this one is for retail commercial, which is C1, which is the purple, same as the previous one for Dan James. So you've got stuff here. This is a Glen Eden Beach loop. And I believe this orange is also an original intent to rezone, just a side note. And then you've got Cluster Rose Lodge, and then Hinton Beach, which is Seward, and some on a rock, these two clusters. So this here is Seward, Glen Eden Beach, so Lincoln Beach. Here is not, but they have relatively large lots, so they potentially maybe could qualify for, you know, a big enough septic system.
Where is that?
Rose Lodge.
Rose Lodge, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Highway 18.
And just clarify for my, when we pass this, this applies only to county property.
Correct.
So it doesn't apply to the city of Newport or the city of Depot Bay or, okay, I'm just making sure I'm thinking straight.
In which already quietly began improving them. That's why one of the reasons we felt comfortable with this is that as a practical matter, this whole phenomenon of the brewing on site has proven to be quite successful and compatible in urban areas.
And I was going to bring up too, I assume one of the incentives for the county board was that this is something going on in other places in the state.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, this is hardly a leap into the darkness here by doing this.
So I just move on to my last exhibit here. This is C2 zone, here commercial. You can see that we don't have that many, and since you approved the previous case, we have eliminated 3 of them in this area. And as we showed earlier, this one is the other one that Mr. James has for his manufactured home sale. So that one and that one, I'm not sure about this one, but these two are already locked into the resulting intent. They can't do anything else anyway. But just so you, to show you that it's very limited where people can have microbreweries because we just have so little C2 zones. And this is in Toledo area. I'm not sure what goes on. I didn't check to see what the uses are there, but it's, I think it's mostly like people's houses and marinas likely. It's on the Bay Road. Yeah, so very limited C2 zones.
I have a question. And you already clarified that the concern over dust and noise and all that sort of thing is already covered elsewhere in our code. We don't have to put in.
We're not proposing. I mean, we're saying that it's so small scale that it's probably not going to have those.
Mr. Chair, it's only the dust, noise, odor issues are for IP zones, and then that's why we have a blanket conditional use requirement, because with true industrial processes, we still want to be able to see that they're compatible with the existing and other uses in the area and any potential neighborhoods. So that requirement is not being placed on these zones with that particular use, because as Quay just mentioned, that they're really quite minimal in scale, and we sort of have an idea of exactly what they are, and there's quite a track record of them being compatible. So there isn't that sort of other layer of...
So we don't need to put that in?
Correct.
Okay. Any more questions? Go ahead.
We're adding all this.
water-based stuff here, do we have water supply accommodate it? And will the sewer disposal accommodate the waste? I know our Newport plant keeps dying every time you turn around.
Answer your question. I can speak for the Salishan installation, because I sit on the sewer district there as a board member. Yes, we have plenty of capacity, and it's within 500 feet of the roof, and the roof of.
Yeah, but what about the rest of the county?
So I'll answer the question. With respect to locations not in Salishan, that Commissioner Bugenhagen has some actual knowledge of the system there and its capacity.
Too much
knowledge about that. In the other settings, there is a grandfathered in sewerage agency. And so you have to more or less, they have to. So the question about the water, when you get a letter of service saying that you're going to go do it, then they're making a determination, I have the water and I have the capacity to treat it. Instead of us sort of playing that role. They're the ones that are going to offer the water, and they're the ones that are going to treat it. So they need to be, if you need to be able to get it from them. And if they don't got it, then you don't get it.
So it's on the local level.
Yeah. That important concern is relevant, but it's being answered in a different way.
Any more questions for the staff? Is there any testimony by anybody else on this issue? Okay, sign in your name and.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Matt White. I'm one of the owners of Beachcrest Brewing Company. Thank you for giving me a chance to say a few words in this regard, and actually I might be able to answer a few questions as well that you had. For example, the question about the size of a barrel came up. It is 31 and a half gallons. There was already a question regarding to wastewater, so I'd be happy to address that as well. But Beachcrest Brewing Company is probably the reason that this issue is coming up under consideration tonight. We are the company looking to open in a commercially zoned in a C2 zoned area, and found out that there was this line in the notes specific to fermentation being restricted to industrially zoned areas in Lincoln County. And I think the main thing I would like to talk about is it's likely that when the code was originally written, that the concept of what a brewery was very different than what it is today. I think that the original concept is you think about like a Budweiser or a Coors or any of these like massive industrial projects that do generate a significant amount of noise and smells and require a huge plot of land, and where there are potential risks to water supply in and out, those kind of things. I moved here from Colorado. Coors is a major producer, and they're significantly out of town, kind of in their own area over there, and they have a massive plant out there. But that idea, since the late 70s, early 80s, when President Carter passed the Homebrew Act that allowed people to start brewing beer at home, has really changed, because coming out of that was this new concept of what a brewery could be, and we've seen this huge industry come of these little neighborhood microbreweries and pubs that have really integrated very well into their communities, and you see Oregon constantly coming up as one of the states where microbreweries are a really big deal, and And you've seen it certainly in the towns really associated with it, Portland, Bend, Eugene, Corvallis, but even up and down the coast, every coastal town has kind of an example of like a small brewery that that has become had a pretty big impact on the local economy and community. The Pelican Pub is kind of like the most associated tourist destination in Pacific City, I would think, and you know, just neighboring us, we have Depot Bay Brewing, and even in town here, Beer One's very small, right in the middle of town, right on 101 there. So I think that it became much more of an issue of scale and scope. Those concerns in regards to smells and sounds and things like that become very different when we're talking about you know, something on the level of like a Rogue, for example, that does occupy a pretty huge chunk there by the waterfront that is use, you know, forklifts, trucks, huge fermenters, you know, massive amounts of water use and things kinds like that they have their own kind of section of town. But even Rogue started really small right there on the Bayfront area at that the Bayfront Pub, you know, and started with a small operation and found that they could be good neighbors to the other businesses in the area. And then we have Depot Bay Brewing and Rusty Truck and these other things that are all up and down the coast that are in commercial areas and kind of right next to residents and other businesses and found to be good neighbors. I'll try and be concise, so I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I would be happy to answer any of your questions if you had...
When are you opening?
I like you. In regards to the wastewater, by the way, I have been in touch with our the sewage department in our area, and most of the wastewater is really just just kind of dirty water, or some, you know, soaps and cleaning chemicals and things like that. You mentioned yeast. So yeast is a bit of concern. You can't just take like a whole bunch of active yeast and dump it down into the sewer. That would be a bad idea. So brewers, for the most part, reclaim their yeast. And if yeast does need to be disposed of, it's killed before it's put down the drain. So it's a combination of like dumping a bunch of bleach in there and sanitizer and just making sure that it's not actually active when it goes into the sewer, because that's when the problem happens, you know.
Any questions? Go ahead.
So I'm still thinking about Steel Rock and tourist commercial and smaller lots without sewer system.
Yeah.
Is it even economically feasible to have one of these things there without a sewer system?
It would require a pretty big
tanks of trucks to take the waste away.
Yeah, I mean, there is a significant amount of water and waste usage. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And again, it does come down to scale. Like, you know, that there was a cutoff point of 15,000 or something like that. You know, but I mean, that's even small on the scale of a macro brewery of a Sam Adams or a Budweiser or something like that. 15,000 is actually really small compared to those. For example, Deschutes is making 50,000. I think they're still considered to be a craft microbrewery. And so that scale, when compared to, for example, Beer One, or for example, our scale, we're talking about a 3-barrel production system. So a 100-barrel production system versus a 3-barrel production system is again, like it's a huge variance of scope. So I would say that, you know, we're a business wanting to keep things really small. They probably could be done. Would it be economically a good idea? I don't know. You know, I do think having it attached to sewer is a good idea.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to testify on this issue? Okay, we close the record and we will deliberate. I guess I'd ask Dick Cutler if he's into this thing.
I'm sitting over here shaking. No, I have no comment.
No, I was referring to your past businesses and things. Don't you do that?
We make wine. But wine,
okay.
Only water used in winemaking is the clean equipment.
Any any discussion for the deliberation, or are you ready to vote on the...
I move we...
Case file.
Case file 05TA18.
Yes.
Is that the right one?
That's the one.
We approve it.
Moved and seconded that we approve case file 05TA18. All those in favor?
Mr. Chair.
Recommend approval because it's just a technical...
It's because the Board of Commissioners actually adopts it.
Okay, so the motion is...
Well, what is this from the board then?
They initiated it, you provide the recommendation, and they do the formal adoption.
But they take into consideration...
And codes can be initiated by you, or they can be initiated by the Board of Commissioners. It actually goes quicker if it's done through the board, because that's what we tried to do, that we chose the most expedited route.
So the motion is to recommend to the board that we approve it.
That's right.
Okay.
And the second, any discussion on the motion? All those in favor, raise your hand. Anybody abstaining? It's passed.
Josh, you got it, right? Who made the motion, and it's unanimous?
Are there any planning commission concerns?
I had a question about down north of Ona, the couple lots there that have been developed as RV pad rental sites. Is that legal in our code, or... I thought they were being developed as home sites, and now there's a sign there, you know, for rent.
In the old mill side?
No, these are right before...
On the bluff, right?
On the bluff, right before Ona Beach.
Just north of Ona Beach.
Right, what's going on there?
143, I think, is the street designation.
Around there, yeah.
Yeah.
What's with that?
It is lawful. It's a challenging set of circumstances because of those two parcels. Actually, there's a small county-owned parcel, not right-of-way, in between, which made it hard to create enough room for a house. The people that bought it, though, understood that the current FEMA map shows that that's actually a flood zone. The new FEMA maps, when they come out in a year ago, will take it out of the flood zone. But as long as it's in a flood zone now, they can establish a six-month only, from April 15th to October 15th, one RV per parcel usage. And that RV has to go in the winter, and no structures around. So yes, it's lawful.
Okay.
It's generated a lot of interest.
Yeah,
and there's plenty of other soap operas about it that I will not bore you with tonight.
I assumed it was because it's so obvious where it's at.
On that property, don't assume anything.
Yeah, but I just wanted to bring it up so I can answer the people's questions.
That was good of you.
That's it.
Thank you for asking.
Any other planning commission concerns?